We're going to continue our series of lessons on the good king. We started last week in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We're back in the same place. We looked at the history of a nation and how the nation got there. And today we're going to look especially at a special person on this Mother's Day. And her name is Abijah, or Abby. They called her, her nickname was Abby in the New Testament. We'll see that, by the way, in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 17. You'll see that they nicknamed her Abby. But in verse 29, let's read there and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, 25-year-old young man, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. And let's go to 2 Kings chapter 18. I'm sorry, not 17, but hold your place here in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 18. We have two accounts given of the life of Hezekiah. This is the same account, same king. It coincides with 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and 2 Kings chapter 18. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. I'm going to stop here real quickly because we're going to see things like this on when you come to Scripture and you compare Scripture with Scripture. You're going to see two things. You're going to see the nation of Israel here. You see Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel. That's the northern kingdom that has been established after the division between the two kingdoms. And then you see the kingdom of Judah. We're going to see that in the last part of the verse. Of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. See the same account of his life, verse 2. 20 and 5 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. We come to this passage of Scripture. We're talking about this good king, King Hezekiah. We're going to begin to discuss his life and how the Lord has blessed his life. And you come to a little passage of Scripture like this, and it's easy to pass over, isn't it? You can say, well, okay, his mom's name was Abijah in one place. That was her full name. Her name, by the way, means the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, D, Jehovah. The word we see for Jehovah is my father. So she had a heritage in the fact that she had a name given to her that reminded her that the Lord was her father. Like all children, she was given probably a nickname. And we see that nickname portrayed in 2 Kings chapter 18. And her friends and those that grew up with her called her Abby, much like we do other children who have longer names. We shorten them down. We call our son Keaton. We call him Keat sometimes. And so we give nicknames to our children. We shorten the name down. That's all that means. No discrepancy there, and we understand that. We come to this passage of Scripture, and we ask ourselves, and it was interesting to me that the Lord allowed the timing to be, because whether or not it was on Mother's Day, I was going to still teach this lesson about Abby. Mothers are listed here. A mother is listed here. What significant thing can we learn from her this morning concerning the life and how it affected the life of Hezekiah, the good king? We're going to look at that this morning. I want to notice a few things. I've already said her name means the Lord is my father. The first thing I want us to notice, that it's not necessarily a point, but I want us to remember, back in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 29, we see again, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah. First thing I want us to think about is the fact that she's a mother, that the Lord has gifted to her the ability to be a mother to a child, or maybe children. We don't have the whole list of how many children she had, but we know that Hezekiah was her son. May I say to you this morning, if you're a mother and you've been gifted with motherhood, that you've been given a great blessing from God, And if you're a father even, and you've been given the responsibility of being a father, you've been given a great responsibility from God. In fact, Scripture tells us in Psalm 127, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." An heritage of the Lord. "And the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gate." I have some thoughts about that this morning. If you have a child this morning, you have a heritage from God. And I have a heritage from God. They are our heritage. And what do we do with our heritage that God's given us? Ladies, men, you know, what do we learn from this little life given here to us in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 concerning Abijah or Abby? And are there lessons that we can learn? You say she's only mentioned in two verses in the Bible. How much can we learn from a lady like this? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to find out this morning. Are you awake this morning, class?
Yes.
I mean, good, good. Okay, I was just checking. I'm getting blank stares, and I understand. That's what happens to me when I wake up in the morning. I give blank stares for a while. And so maybe I was up just a little bit earlier. I don't know, but I'm getting some of that. That's okay, because we'll work through that too. Maybe the Lord's working on me how to teach with blank stares back at you. So the Lord's good. Amen. And He's gracious to us all the time. What can we learn from this little mother, this little mama here, in the middle of the history of the kings of Israel? Can we learn something from her? Sure we can. We're going to look at that. The first thing, this is what you can write down. Number one, the first lesson I've learned from this dear mother is she passed her heritage to her heritage. She passed her heritage to her heritage. Well, in order to pass a heritage on to someone, we must know what a heritage is. Amen? And understand that. The first and greatest heritage that any mother can pass to a son or a daughter is the heritage of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you have all the royal bloodline of all the English Tudors in your background, yet you don't know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, your heritage is nothing to brag about. So that's the first question I ask you, dear mother, this morning. Has there been a point in your life where you trusted the Lord as your Savior? And if you have trusted the Lord as your Savior, then therefore you have that heritage. But Abby had a heritage here. Let's look at that heritage. Let's turn back just a little bit in Scripture, and let's learn a little bit from Scripture by turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. We're going to go back to a man who was in the heritage of Hezekiah. And we're going to find his life here in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 in verse 15. And it says here, "But Jehoiada." Now who's this? This was the priest who was given charge over the king Joash, who was the grandfather of Hezekiah. He was given, Jehoiada was the high priest of that kingdom of Judah, who was given the charge of Joash. And Joash began to reign, if you remember, when he was 7 years old. If you look in verse 1 of chapter 24, Joash became the king of Israel when he was 7. Now, let me ask you something. What 7-year-old knows what to do with a kingdom? Well, God had it in mind what to do. And I only see one mistake really, truly, that Jehoiada did. Jehoiada was the priest that God had anointed for the southern kingdom of Judah for that time. The only mistake that he made was he chose two wives for Joash. That's the only mistake that I see recorded in Bible and Scripture here. He chose him two wives. Well, we know that he should have chosen him one, right? But nevertheless, God worked with what man's mistakes were. And God took a mess and made a message out of it. And that's what God can do with a mess of our lives. He can make messages out of messes. Amen? You're looking at a message this morning from a great mess that I was. But we take Jehoiada. Jehoiada still, when he came to the years of his life, we're going to see the end of his life. We're not going to see all the things that he did. But we're going to notice that he wasn't a king, but he was the high priest over a king. And in verse 15, there's a great statement about his life. "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died." And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. There's a heritage for you. He had a grandfather who had done so well as a priest of the children of Israel that they honored him with the king's death. That tells you the type of life Jehoiada lived. And Abby somehow was able to pass down to Hezekiah things that are well. Let's hold our place right here. Go back to chapter 29. Hold your place there. I asked you to. We're going to put our marker here. I want you to look in chapter 29 again. How do we know that Hezekiah and Abby had done the right thing with Hezekiah? Because let's look in chapter 29 and verse 3. We'll talk about it in just a minute. And he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them and brought them in the priest and the Levites and gathered them together in the inner streets thereof. That's how we know she's done something right. Because in the first day, in the first month, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we have here with us, back to chapter 24, we have Jehoiada, the heritage that she has somehow passed on in that relationship that she has with the son that the Lord has given to her. And she says to him, there's a lot going on in our nation, but I want you to know something. Your grandfather served God and loved God and did the best that he could with the abilities that God gave him. And with those abilities that the Lord gifted him with, he was honored because he served the Lord. It's a blessing to be able to point to former generations. Not all of us have that gift, do we? But it's a blessing to be able to point to former generations and say, your grandfather served God faithfully. I look at my children. They're the third generation Christian. And I'm thankful that I'm not the only one they have to look to. I can say, look, there is something called faithfulness. There is something called integrity. And you can look past. Sometimes it's easiest for us as children to look at the fathers, because we see the fathers as they are, right? Every mistake, and as a child, we look at every mistake they make. And if we're not careful, we can look at those mistakes and we could be hypercritical as children. But I'm glad I'm not the only one my children have to look towards. I can say, you know what? Look at your granddad. He served the Lord now for 45, almost 46 years, serving the Lord faithfully as a minister of the gospel. And I thank God that we have a heritage to trust and show other generations to follow. There's a heritage to follow. And you should be thankful if you have that. But if you are a person, if you are a mother, doesn't have that, you can become the heritage you want your grandchildren to see. Are you conducting your life, dear mother, dear grandmother, in that manner so that your grandchildren can look back and say, hey, I want to be like Grandma. She loved God. She served God. She was what she needed to be concerning who God was. So we have Jehoiada, but not only do we have Jehoiada, now we have, this is the great-grandfather of Hezekiah. Now we have the grandfather of Hezekiah. And we see him here in verse 20. We saw his name first mentioned, because when the scripture introduced us to Abby, it also introduced us to Zechariah. Now don't be confused. This is not the Zechariah that's written in the scripture. He comes some 250 to 260 years later. But we're going to see an account of his life, how he served God. He was a brave man. After Jehoiada dies, let's see what happens. In verse 17 of chapter 24, we're going back and forth. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah. This is the young men of the kingdom of Judah, and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. In other words, this is Joash. Heard them, and they left. Notice carefully, Joash started out right, had a right example, but still left. If you have an adult child who has left after you've given them example from Scripture, that's their choice. It's not your fault. If you've told them what's right, don't beat yourself up over it. You know what? You could beat yourself to death. Did I make a mistake here? Or did I make a mistake there? Did I do something wrong here? If you have a child who's errant from the Lord, sometimes that child who is errant from the Lord is errant from the Lord because of their own stubbornness, their own will, and God will work on them. And God, if they're His children, we must learn what it is to just say, okay, Lord, I've done everything that I possibly know to do in my humanity to point them to You, the Savior. I must leave it at Thine altar now that they're an adult. If they've gone their way, you must learn what it is to trust the Lord to deal with your adult child who doesn't follow the Lord any longer. I was a case as such. My mom and aunt and dad had to leave me over to the Lord. And they had to do, and the Lord began to, and believe me, God can deal with us. And He does. So don't give up hope. Amen? So we see Joash here. He's left Jehoiada. He's left the counsel given to him. And they left the house of God, verse 18. And then verse 19. God still sends prophets to them to bring them again to the Lord. And they testified against the prophets or against them, but they would not listen or would not give ear to those prophets God sent. Look in verse 20. We're going to see Zechariah now. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, He hath also forsaken you. And they, the princes, conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. What a heritage that Hezekiah has been given. Not only does he have one, which he has a great grandfather who served faithfully for 130 years and he was honored with the kings in his burial, but he also has his grandfather. And his grandfather was one who was bold enough to stand for truth and do what was right, no matter if it cost him, and it did, his life. And we see here the murder of Zechariah in the life of this young woman. Her father's now passed on, gone to be with the Lord because of his stand for the Lord. And I wonder, in chapter 29, back in verse 29, and when we come to this dear little mom named Abby, what in the world is going on? How can you pass the heritage from your heritage down to the heritage God has given you? I don't know. The Scripture doesn't give us everything that she said to her son. There's some things unwritten in Scripture, aren't there? But I can tell you, it didn't come without lessons. There's a certain lesson I want you to look at. I believe it's in Psalm chapter 16. Would you look there with me really quickly? This was a lesson by the heritage of David, one of his great ancestors, Hezekiah's. And we see here it says, a Psalm of David, Preserve me, O God, in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows, the children of Israel, shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance in my cup. There's that inheritance again. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And I look at little Abby, and I can imagine her sitting with her son Hezekiah, and I can say, Now look, Hezekiah, this is what David, your great, 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 many times over removed grandfather did. And here are some of the things that he wrote. And he wrote here in Scripture, he wrote here in this psalm, he wrote this song that I have a goodly heritage. And beloved, anybody who lives in Christ Jesus has a goodly heritage. And she talks to him, and I can see her begin to speak with him concerning his goodly heritage. She passed her goodly heritage on to the heritage God had yet left to her. What's the second lesson we can learn from this little mama here in Scripture that's given to us in 2 Chronicles chapter 29? Just one verse, two verses she's mentioned in 2 Chronicles 29 and 2 Kings chapter 18. What else can we learn from her? The second thing that I've learned, not only did she leave a heritage to her heritage, number two, she did not allow evil circumstances to leave her defeated, to leave her defeated instead of reaching for her inherent purpose. That's long, isn't it? Studying at 3 a.m. in the morning sometimes. She didn't let evil reign. How's that? Is that better? Let's bring it down to where we can all eat it. Amen? She did not let evil reign because there's evil in her house. I want you to notice now, back in 2 Chronicles chapter 27. Excuse me, chapter 28. Here's now Hezekiah's daddy. This is Hezekiah's mama's husband. I don't know how many wives he had. Scripture doesn't really speak of it. Ahaz, this is the father of Hezekiah, was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Now here's the sad statement of a life. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. Verse 2, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And notice with me the next sad statement concerning the life of Ahaz. And burnt his children in the fire. The sacrifice of the children at the idols of the father. What a sad statement. And can you imagine a little mama who didn't have a husband who would serve the Lord, the things that she had to speak to him concerning how he ought to live his life? What a sad statement on a father, amen? That he wouldn't follow God. And there were some of his children that he passed through the fire and sacrificed to a fire somewhere. But somehow, a godly little mama simply said this, "Not my son." And I don't know if she hit him. I don't know if she pleaded with her husband. I don't know what happened, but we have now Hezekiah, king. I've searched the scriptures. I've looked for other accounts of Hezekiah and Ahaz. And I don't see a chronology of other children. But scripture does tell me that he burned his children in the fire, doesn't it? And it was plural, children. What a terrible thing to do. We would never sacrifice our children to another god, would we? But we do to money. We do to baseball. We do to football. NASCAR makes me the maddest. And I'm a Southern boy. When you get a wicked Southern Baptist, excuse me, that's a rabbit trail. You had a wicked Southern Baptist pastor last year get up in NASCAR and blaspheme God by praying a prayer that he prayed. That's all I'm going to say about it. But we have made gods of everything but God in our nation. And it's easy to have our own little thing set up before us. And we have children today still. We have children sacrificed at the hand of the idol of alcohol to some dads, the idol of drugs, the idol of laziness to some fathers, the idol of work, work, work. And I understand, I live in a society today and I work for a boss today that demands of me hours upon hours, but sometimes I just have to cut him off and say, "I'm sorry, I got to go home. It's time for me to be with my family." And sometimes you have to do that. I don't try to be rebellious to my boss. But he knows now that there's a balance that must be maintained to some degree. And I don't like it always, because sometimes I have to go and be away from family during the middle of the week, during difficult times. And I don't like to leave responsibility that should be to the father, to the mother. But thank God for mothers who'll take on the responsibility when the fathers can't or won't. And what we have here is a little mama somehow taking Hezekiah's life, and she's saying, "Now wait a minute. Not only did David write this in the book of Psalms about we have a goodly heritage, but he also said that he's not going to worship the gods other than the God. And that's the second lesson that I learned. Not only did she have difficult circumstances, a father who would not serve the Lord, a father that burned his own brothers and sisters in the fires of Baal and hid them and all of those things, and he sacrificed incense in different places where it was not designed for him to sacrifice. She still had the heart of Hezekiah because she was a godly mama somehow and got the message across. Now, moms, are you in that circumstance? Are you doing everything that you know to do and you're at your wit's end? Because perhaps you're a grandmother and you're concerned about your children and you've done everything you know possibly to do. What do? You just do what's right and you say what's right and you leave the results to God. And He'll take care. He knows your heartache. He knows your burden. We see here in the life of Abby, the fact number two, that she was willing to do what was right no matter what evil persisted. That's the second lesson that I've come to learn. Then the third lesson this morning, dear ladies, concerning this life of Abby and what she taught Hezekiah. I said we'd come back to this. She taught him the how, the when, and the where of serving God. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Let's look in verse 3 again. He, in the first year of his reign, there's the when. In the first month, there's the when. How? Opened the doors of the house of the Lord. How? And repaired them. In the house of the Lord is also where? He repaired that was broken down. What's this say about the life of Abby? She taught him enough to say, this is right. Not only this is right, but how to be right. We've been given a heritage, right? How many would say amen? I know that I've been given a heritage. Amen, you have. Now, with that heritage, you can do one or two things. We can instruct, or we can gripe. Now, I have taught in Christian school. I was a youth pastor for almost 4 years before I was married. Lord help those poor kids. I hope they turned out okay. They were in Mississippi. That's another strike against them. I have taught in the Christian school, been a youth director, been a pastor, worked as a music director before, and I come across the lives of young people. These young people are an heritage from God. Let me ask you a question this morning. With an heritage, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly finished unto all good works. Amen? That's in 2 Timothy, I believe. 1 or 2 Timothy. One of the 3:15s. And when we see that and we understand that, there's a lot of things that happened that couldn't have taken place in Abby's life. She couldn't have saw Hezekiah go and being mean to his brother and say, stop being mean to your brother! Well, did the kid need reproof when he was mean to his brother? Well, sure he did. But the Scripture doesn't just stop at the correction and the reproof. It takes you thoroughly through the job. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. Little Hezekiah, come here. Come here, buddy. Are you listening to me? Yes, Mom, I'm listening. Now, I saw you be mean to your brother and your sister. I saw you pull your sister's hair. Did you do that? No. Hezekiah, did you do that? Yes. Okay, now let me tell you something. We understand a principle from Scripture. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, you understand that that's something that God wants you to do? That's doctrine. Right there's doctrine. You tell that child doctrine. Reproof. Now what you did was wrong and what I saw you do was wrong. No, but I don't want to hear any buts from my household. I don't want to hear that. It doesn't mean you don't speak sternly or raise your voice or use your voice as God's gifted you to do it. But you still reprove, right? And reproof is pointing out what's wrong. Doctrine, reproof, correction. Now look, it's one thing for me to reprove you and say, this is what the Scripture says, here's what you've done. for correction. Now, here's what you need to do. The next time that you feel like you need to do this, you need to ask God to help you to be kind. And here's the attitude that you must take for instruction, for correction, for instruction. And here's how you can do that in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, mamas, it's easy for us to go around. Dads, too. You rotten, stupid kid! I'm waiting. I have had grown men speak of young men. They're stupid kids. No, they're God's heritage. I had a man one time tell me something. He said, well, these kids are stupid knotheads. Well, it may be that they're knotheads. Maybe the truth. May be that they don't have much up here in the mental facility. But leadership as a father and as a mother is not just pointing out what's wrong. It's leading that young person to be what they need to be through the course of life. And that's the way Abby was. She didn't just say to Hezekiah, you're rotten, stinking, filthy daddy's out there living in idolatry. Well, is it true? Well, sure it's true. But she said something else. Son, give thy heart to God. Something like that. Scripture doesn't give us the account, but God knows the account. And the account is given through the testimony of 2 Chronicles chapter 29 at the end of it. Dear mothers, when you see this, dear grandmother, when you see this, through the testimony of Hezekiah, and he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he knew what was right to do. He opened the temple doors. He repaired the temple doors. He made his relationship between God and man what it needed to be. He made the relationship of the nation which he had given responsibility over what it needed to be. But he didn't do that without a godly mother sitting and telling him, this is right. Oh, I beseech you, be, dear mother, what God wants you to be. You have more time with your children than your father, the father does, if a father is a working father. And that time you've been given is such a precious gift from the heritage of God to pass on the heritage of the Lord to your children. May the Lord help us. Amen?
Amen.
May help us to be what we need to be for Him. And it's so easy for us as Christians not to be what we need to be. But this little godly mama did something right. I was 21 years old when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. After I trusted the Lord as my Savior, I was learning to become what I knew I needed to be because I had been taught what was right. And there was a period of time when I was about 23 years of age that I went back and stayed. I left home when I was 17 years of age. Just turned 17. Just graduated from high school. Living my own lifestyle. Being my own thing. Doing my own thing. I've told you some of that story. Trusted the Lord at 21. Stayed with a roommate for a little while in Memphis, Tennessee, who was a Christian young man, a godly young man. Went down to Mississippi and worked for a while after I'd been saved. And in between the time that I was saved and before I went to Mississippi, there was a time that I was living again under the authority of mom and dad. And I went out one night, and me and my brother Paul, we lived 30 miles north of Memphis, and we had friends in Memphis. And it was a Friday night or a Saturday night, one of the two, and mom specifically said to me and Paul, we had our younger brothers, John and Cal were too young to be going out, but I was in 20s, and Paul was 18, maybe 19, something like that. That type of age before marriage, but still living under the authority of the home. You be home at 10:30, sometime like that. Wasn't much after 10:30. Okay, Mom. Boom, we're gone. Well, you know teenage boys or young men. We stayed and stayed. Paul went one direction. We were in the same vehicle. We were sharing a ride, and he dropped me off where I was going to Memphis, and he went his way. It got around, I knew it took about 45 minutes to get to home. And it got time to be at home. We had left the house probably 5:30, 6 o'clock, so we had plenty of time to do all of our fun. And my brother didn't show up. And he didn't show up. And he didn't show up until about 10:20. So he finally gets to where I am. We still have 45 minutes of driving when we go. And the whole way there, I'm thinking, I'm not the one that's late. It's my brother that's late. That rotten rascal. And so we get home and the house is completely dark. I said, let's just sneak in the window. Stupid. So we creep up to the window and just try to slide that window up a little bit. Try to get in the window. And you would, lo and behold, you know who was standing at the door with their arms crossed? It wasn't my godly father. It was the wrath of my godly mother looking at me. We have a front door, son. Why don't you use it? Okay, Mom. Psst. Why were you late? I wasn't driving, Mom. Doesn't matter. You were late. You're the older one. I hold you responsible. She'd been teaching us these principles all along. She'd been trying to teach us this is the right thing to do. Here's the boundary. I don't care if he's 19, and I don't care if you're an adult. You still do what's right. I remember at 12 years of age, she, like I've done with my son, I've taken him out in the yard and worked him all day long, mowing the grass. I hate mowing grass. I do. I hate mowing grass. Now, you can like it all you want to, but I hate it. But I remember in November, she said, okay, we're going to mow the grass. So all four boys were out there, from the littlest one to the oldest one at this time in our life. We were all condensed to 12 years. She had the little one picking up rocks out of the yard. She had me mowing. She had my brother raking. She had the other brother in between. I don't know what he was doing. But she was instilling in us godly principles that we needed. Now, let me tell you something. Some of those principles did not come about to fruition in my life for 20-some years after she taught me some of those lessons. Perhaps you have a lost one here today. Perhaps you're a mama with a broken heart because your son or your daughter has gone astray and not serving the Lord. Let me say, if you've done the best you can according to Scripture and you taught the truth, God has not forgotten that child. Trust Him. Trust Him. And we have a little godly mama from Hezekiah chapter 29, who did more than just be a mother to the point to get them out of the house because they were a burden to her. But she made them become the heritage that God intended him to be. And that takes a lifetime. And may the Lord help us. God bless you, mothers that are here this morning, for your labor and love in the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. I thank you for a mom who instilled in us godly principles. I thank you for the fact that I can remember in my mind's eye the time she took us to Scripture and made us repeat, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for her memory. I thank you for the fact she lives today and serving the Lord today. Lord, I pray that you help the dear mothers to take the attitude that somehow got through from Abby to Hezekiah, for Hezekiah to become the right kind of person he needed to be, despite a father that wouldn't serve him, despite not having a grandfather around because he was dead, but only the heritage of David, Jehoiada, Scripture, and Mama's teaching. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for mothers that love you and serve you. I pray that you'd strengthen and help everyone that's here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things.